Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. Now, Nigel Slater's recipe books are rather different from anybody else's. Yes, there are recipes, but there are also stories, notes, fables and folklore alongside the food. His latest, The Christmas Chronicles, is no exception, and he reveals himself as a lover of winter, the cold, and mercifully for me, foods such as a dark chocolate spice cake, which is rather splendidly sitting alongside me. We'll talk about that in a minute, Nigel. What is it you love about midwinter?
I think there are some people who they come to life when the sun's shining and when the weather's warm. And with me, I'm like one of those bulbs that needs to have a little bit of cold in order to shoot, in order to have the energy. And I can feel, when I wake up in the morning and there's frost on the hedges, and I open the window and there's that little sparkle of cold, I feel alive, I get an energy that I don't have in the summer.
But when you're walking down the pavement and you're having to hold on to the railings, as you explained to me earlier,
yes,
because the pavement's so slippery, you can't be so happy then.
Well, winter is very beautiful. It's also, it is dangerous. It's quite, you know, it's a good time for everybody. And yes, I did have to go to the shops holding onto the railings because the pavement was completely covered in ice the other day. But the Sunday when it snowed, and I was putting the lights on the tree, and I was baking mince pies, and there was snow outside, and it was utterly heavenly.
Why do you suppose, then, that so many of us have this very confused attitude to this period? We hate the cold and the dark, but we still celebrate with feasting as we would have in the past.
That's right. I mean, Christmas is obviously different things to different people. And, I mean, principally, it is for many people, it's a religious festival all over the world. For others, it is commercial. It's a time of spending money, of eating too much, maybe drinking a little bit too much. But then there's people like myself who like the magic of it, the folklore, the tradition, the history, if you like, the art and poetry of winter and of Christmas, because Christmas is, for me, at the heart and soul of the winter months.
Which are your favourite fables and folklore surrounding Christmas?
Oh, there's so many. The one that I really loved researching was Krampus. And just as we have...
Never heard of it.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, just as we have Father Christmas, who, as you know, he only visits good children. And if you've been well behaved, he will come and he will bring you presents. Well, Krampus, he will come if you've been naughty. And he's part goat, part devil. He's got horns. He breathes fire. And traditionally, he goes through many of the Alpine villages. He'll have chains, he's very noisy, he's got chains, and he'll be greeted by people banging saucepans with spoons very loudly. He's terrifying. And he has a whisk, a birch whisk that he hits naughty children with, and a basket on his back that if you've been really bad, you end up being picked up, put in the basket and taken away. And I love the idea of him, even though he is terrifying.
Why do you love him? Such a frightening image.
Well, I think kids do like being frightened. If you think of most of the nursery rhymes and most of the fairy stories, there is a frightening aspect to them. I like the slightly sinister feel about fairy stories and folklore. And I think, as long as you're in a safe place, I think it's okay to be a little bit scared.
What did Christmas mean to you as a child? I mean, you describe yourself now as, I think the words were, pretty much an atheist.
Yes.
What did it mean to little Nigel?
Well, little Nigel couldn't wait for Christmas. In fact, I used to get so excited, I used to make myself quite ill. That moment on Christmas morning, waking up and feeling that pillowcase at the bottom of my bed full of parcels, coming downstairs and the tree would be lit and you could smell the turkey roasting. It was absolutely magical. And also it was a big family time. there were grannies and there were brothers and everybody coming round the table. It was the only time we actually had the whole table out with everything on it. A very happy moment. And then, when I was 9, a week before Christmas, Mum died. And it changed everything. I sat there on Christmas afternoon, taking my presents from round the tree, opening up presents that she had wrapped. And my mum used to make gift tags out of last year's cards, and I used to open the tags and it would say, to Nigel of Mummy and Daddy. She'd wrapped those up before she died. And that changed Christmas for quite a long time. It felt wrong to celebrate it. It felt inappropriate to have a glass of champagne, and that lasted for years. And then one day I suddenly thought, Mum loved Christmas. She wouldn't have wanted this. She'd have wanted me to celebrate.
You've written about Christmas markets across Europe.
Yes.
If one were planning a festive trip, which are the best ones to go to?
The German ones are amazing. And the reason is because they're very traditional. So when you look at the toys and the Christmas decorations, they're made exactly as they have been for hundreds of years. The wooden toys are painted the same colours. The Christmas decorations are made in the same way. And they're not so commercial, they're quite social. So after work, you will go to the Christmas market with people from the office, in your mittens and your woolly hat, and you'll take your commemorative mug, Christmas 2017, and you will have mulled wine poured into it. And you'll go round the different markets, getting a bit more merrier as you go. And it's a social thing, it's not just a commercial event.
And so we come to the cake.
Yes.
Because I think he's inspired by a gingerbread that you've eaten at Christmas markets.
There are several things I love about Christmas baking. I love the fruit of the Christmas cake. I love the marzipan of Stollen. And there is a lovely German Lebkuchen, a beautiful biscuit that's got some spice in it. And that's what I've tried to create here. A little bit of Christmas cake, a little bit of Stollen, and the spiciness from the Lebkuchen.
Can I have a bit, Jenny? You brought it, darling. Of course you can have a bit. Are you having a big bit? I cut mine into slightly smaller bits.
Oh, very wise.
Mm. It's very moist. It's got a gingery flavour to it.
Not much.
No, at all. It's very, very good. Are you happy with it?
I am, actually. Because of the spicing. It's like the gifts that the three wise men bought. Precious things that you put in. So it's the spices, the cinnamon, the powdered ginger, the mace. These are the nearest things we get to those gifts.
And it explodes in your mouth and carries on exploding. Oh, it's very, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
There is a bit of a debate at the moment about turkeys.
Yes.
Which Prue seems to have caused. She says she stuffs her turkey, well, in advance, and freezes it, and then obviously defrosts it before cooking it. How good an idea is that? Because you're all for preparation before Christmas, aren't you?
Yes, I think that the way to make Christmas run smoothly is preparation. It's lists, it's getting your house in order. And that way you'll have time to have fun. I like to cook my stuffing separately. I like it to go round the bird because then you get a crisp bit on top of the stuffing and get it all moist within. I'm not sure I would freeze a turkey unless I really had to. I probably wouldn't stuff it before I froze it either. But, you know, Prue's been cooking for a very long time. She knows what she's doing. And if you thaw it for long enough, I'm sure it's fine.
Would you stuff it with anything? I mean, some people say, oh, just pop an onion in there.
Oh, no. I think you've got to have sausage meat, breadcrumbs, dried fruit, some herbs. It's one of the few times you'd actually use sage. Stuffing is a wonderful thing, and it's not Christmas lunch without it.
And just finally, you continue in the book past Christmas through to early February. How do you make the most of the rest of the winter months once the celebrations are over?
Things change a little bit. Food becomes slightly lighter. But there's a lot of good things around. You know, there's all the wonderful cabbages, the root vegetables. You can have a lot of fun. I actually like those months. And also, I like using the bits up from Christmas. All those, the things that don't get eaten, you know, the Brazil nuts and the walnuts and the little bits of marzipan. I continue with those right the way through the new year.
And are you busy in your garden even in January and February.
I take a walk around the garden every morning without fail. The garden is quieter. It's a gentler place. And you can see the architecture of the trees. You can see the shape of them when there's no leaves on them. And they're just as beautiful.
Nigel Slater, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. Thank you for the cake. And of course, the recipe for the cake will be on the Women's Hour website. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Women's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.